been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday. It's the Thursday, August 24th, live edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And we kind of have a mixed day in the market so far. We've got the Dow is down because, well, let's see, where is the Dow right now? The Dow Jones, it's up 64 right now. Boeing is was bringing it down, but now it has recovered, and the Dow's up 64. 71, call it, to 34,544. In the meantime, the NASDAQ is now up just 34 points. It was up a lot higher in the pre-market. I think maybe the NVIDIA big news, good news, was kind of baked into the cake, and I've seen a little bit of a sell-off, not in NVIDIA, but in AMD and some of the AI stocks. The S&P 500 is up 17 points. That's 40 basis points to the upside. The 10-year is up 1 basis point to 4.21. What else do we have? Oil down a little bit here today to 79.30. And gold down $6 per ounce to 19.42 is what I'm seeing here on my screen. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And Barry, I think we kind of expected a pretty big report from NVIDIA, and I would say we got what we expected.
Yeah, I mean, they, you know, they kind of had to have one, right? And we were hoping they would, not simply because we own the stock in our portfolios, but because of the fact that, you know, it's, it helps lift the rest of, particularly the large tech market, but just the market in general in terms of how we've started, at least when you look back at how we've started since June 30th. And I think some of that fervor that we had, for after the close yesterday and in this morning kind of went away a tiny bit, mainly because of that initial jobless claims number coming in lower than expected. And durable goods order actually fell pretty significantly, more than anticipated as well. So you kind of got two pieces of news that are butting up against each other. And, of course, I believe we get Powell speaking to us from high elevation in Wyoming tomorrow, right?
Yes, right, Jackson Hole. Now, here is the magnitude of how much NVIDIA beat your expectations. Now, remember, the numbers that were expected had already been raised significantly, okay, after NVIDIA's pre-announcement several weeks ago. And I wrote down this number a couple weeks ago. I put it on my day timer for today, and now I can compare it. NVIDIA was expected to report $2.08 in earnings. Instead, they reported $2.70. So they beat by 62 cents. You know, that's
22%. Has a 22% beat rate.
That's a huge, you know, in excess of the expectation. But here's the one that blows me away: the sales were expected to come in at right around 11 billion. They came in at 13 and a half billion.
Yeah.
Wow! I'll bet those, you know, those plants that were cranking out those NVIDIA chips were working overtime. So
you need some AI chips to build those AI chips, right?
I mean, man, come on. I'm telling you what, they absolutely smashed their estimates. And
the guidance. Did you see the guidance?
I haven't seen the guidance yet.
So their October quarterly guidance was $16 billion, and that was above the 12.6 that they already had.
Man.
So in, you know, quick math terms, that is, I want to say it's about 27% guidance raise on the revenue end. So.
Well, okay, now let's break it down to fractional numbers. That's kind of how I look at things. Their sales were up 101% versus the same quarter last year. This quarter last year, they did 6.7 million, okay, billion. This year, they did 13 point. So they more than doubled their sales. Their earnings were up 429%. They did 51 cents a year ago this quarter. And they came in with 270 this time. Now, you would think the stock would be up more. It is up 3.6%, but it has come down a bit.
I think those macro, that's what I said, I think those macro themes, particularly that jobless claims number, because, you know, when you looked at it, as you mentioned in your note, when you looked at the, of course, yesterday after the market and then pre-market this morning, things were, you know, everything was looking rosy, right? It was pretty much green across the board, and then when those jobless claims numbers came out, I think around 8:30-ish, a little after, then you know, you've kind of had a bit of a decline since then. I will say one thing that was interesting is there, and you announced it yesterday, whether they're going to maybe sell some more shares to build some points.
Yeah, they're
going to
do just the opposite. They're going to buy.
Yeah. Well, when you mentioned a buyback first, but yeah, they're going to do announced a $25 billion buyback. So. That what that does is for folks out there, that takes shares off the market. So for in this example, if they buy back 25 billion shares, even if their earnings stay the same, their earnings per share will increase because there's going to be less shares outstanding the next reporting period. So
yeah, I think NVIDIA was up about 6% at one time during the evening overnight, maybe even 7%.
Yeah.
And then, you know, with the P.E. ratio of 90 and, you know, interest rates going up a couple of basis points today after the jobless claims, that's probably what's nothing to do with NVIDIA. Those were just blowout numbers. Now, I got to give you a little story. Yesterday, about 2:30 Eastern time, I had a call come in that I answered it because I didn't recognize the phone number. And it was a cold call from an ETF. I don't remember if it was Roundhill. It was one of those, one of their guys. And he was saying, I noticed you've got a big position in NVIDIA. And I said, yes, I do. And he said, they make ETFs that short or inverse one stock or double that stock. So I think they've got one on Tesla, NVIDIA, a few others. I can't remember. It was not Roundhill, but it was another one. He said, have you thought about hedging your position with earnings coming out after the close? My words to him were, why would I want to do that?
No, and we did it, and we did it on in October or August, around August 10th. So.
Yes, I said, I'm expecting big numbers from NVIDIA. I don't want to buy an inverse position on NVIDIA. So, anyways, I'm sure he was making the rounds yesterday, calling everybody, and I'll bet everybody that took his call, if anybody listened to him and bought a hedge, they'll probably regret it today. So anyways, that was that big NVIDIA news that we were all waiting for. The market yesterday was decent. It wasn't bad. The NASDAQ was up 215 points yesterday. Why? Because interest rates dropped 13 basis points yesterday. 13 basis points. And the tech sector blasted off, led by NVIDIA, led by Tesla, several other stocks that did very well yesterday. And then, of course, we're getting a little bit of follow-through here today after just unbelievable results. I've seen a lot of blowout earnings during my two-plus decades in the business. This is one of the best earnings reports I've ever seen.
Especially back-to-back. I mean, the you know, the last one was, like I said, I believe it's a record in terms of market cap increase after an earnings announcement, which was
last
quarter.
Well, it wasn't an earnings announcement. It was a pre-announcement,
Yeah,
right?
a guidance rate.
Guidance.
Right? In other words, on one piece of news, right? How much that stock moved was a record, and then of course they followed up and even beat those expectations.
Yeah, and I said yesterday, I'm sure they held something back, right? And they held quite a bit back. So, anyways, that's it with NVIDIA. It remains our largest position.
Yeah, it's like they have six aces in a 52 deck, right?
Yes, I run five different managed account funds, and it's in three of them. It's obviously not in the bond fund. I don't know that they have bonds. They might have no debt whatsoever.
They may not need it. If they do, they might not need it for a while.
Yes, and it's not in the, it's not in the emerging growth because it's far past
too
that
big.
One.
Yeah.
Too big. Okay, well, we'll be right back. Boeing's got an issue here today that we need to talk about. This is the Best Stocks Now show. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, believe it or not, the NASDAQ has now gone negative despite the big blowout by NVIDIA. It's down 28 points. The Dow, on the other hand, is up 55 points. There's still a little bit more here on NVIDIA before we move on. NVIDIA... Let's see. Looking ahead, it expects third quarter sales of $16 billion. Like you said, what were they? Where was the number at before this? $12.5 billion. So they upped. This is just the next 3 months. The 3 months that we're currently in, which will end in 5 weeks. Believe it or not, the quarter will end in 5 weeks. In a note to clients, I love this line. Wedbush Securities analyst Dan Ives called it the guidance heard around the world, citing the jaw-dropping demand. And of course, raising their sales from 12.5 billion to 16 billion, the Jensen Huang. Okay, remember that name, Jensen Huang. He's become the kingpin here. Right now, approved a $25 billion share buyback, and it said it would continue to buy back stock this year. Now, there will be some more earnings tonight, and then we're pretty much, you stick a fork in it. Marvell, Workday, Affirm, Intuit, Ulta Beauty, Gap Stores, Nordstrom's, and then we're pretty much done. Now, I think, like you say, I think the news that hurt and took the bloom off the rose here, especially in the NASDAQ, was the initial jobless claims. We keep hoping for some weakness in the jobs market because it's the stickiest area we have right now as far as inflation goes. Everything else seems to be coming down. Although energy prices have been moving up recently, but this strong jobs market continues to compact margins. Oh, by the way, you know what NVIDIA's gross margin was? I mean, companies would dream of having 71.2% is their gross margin.
Pretty solid.
Oh, my God. It's almost obscene. You know, you look at Walmart's gross margin. I don't know what it is, 15, 16%, somewhere in there probably, maybe even less. 71%. Okay,
Do you think the Bidenomics crowd's going to make a release and have them take some windfall profits and everything else?
Well, let's sock them with the windfall profits tax because an oil company doesn't even come close to those kinds of gross margins,
right.
Not even in the same ballpark. As those gross margins. But then all of a sudden, you had the initial jobless claims come in at 230. They dropped from the 240. Now, why? Did that take the bloom off the rose? Well, because of our friend in Jackson Hole, Jerome Powell, saying, "God, we got to get that jobs. We got to get these layoffs to go up, or we're not going to." That's still the stickiest part of the inflation equation. So that probably raises the odds a little bit, the probability of another rate hike. Although I wouldn't expect another rate hike. It seems to me like the big picture around the world, with Europe slowing down and China slowing down, would be much more important, would weigh much more heavily than a strong job market.
In one weekly jobs report, I mean, that's what's funny about it is, I mean, I remember when, you know, this number used to come across, I mean, it comes out every week, and it, you know, used to not, you know, move the market kind of the way it has as of late, and that's because of the importance, like you said, of the stickiest part of inflation being employment and wages, and you know, a lot of the other factors, even shelter, by the way, which is usually a very sticky one as well, has been coming down. So you know, yesterday you had the PM, you know, some weakness in the PMI services number, which
today,
is today
durable goods too. Yeah, fell durable more goods than forecast.
Down. Yeah, it fell 5.2% and was supposed to fall 4%. So that's a pretty significant drop there.
Yeah, so you get weakness on the overall economy. The one area, well, there's a couple areas: home sales and the price of homes. Okay, that's sticky, I guess, because there's no supply.
Yep.
And on the other hand, the jobs market, and I would say it's the same reason. The supply of workers doesn't seem to be there. European gas prices plunge as Woodside labor deal averts strike. That's down in Australia.
Yep, that was the liquefied natural gas worry that they were going to strike, and there was going to be less liquefied natural gas for to make it to Europe at some point.
Yes. And also, U.S. oil prices end at the lowest price in a month, weighed down by demand or worries. Well, we are coming to the end of vacation season, of driving season. You've got weakness in China. But at the same time, you know, you've got a lot of constraints on supply because of the anti-fossil fuel posture. Now, I don't know if you saw this, but I thought it was pretty interesting. Did you see who was invited to join the BRICS yesterday?
Well, I know it wasn't Prigozhin, but no, I didn't.
Okay.
It wasn't him.
No, he's not a voting member anymore. He's...
No, that's a whole. That whole story reminds me of a movie, but we'll get to that at some point. But the country that was asked to join
several. Six yeah. countries. Let's see. And they're not exactly friends. If you say if they're friends or foes, they're absolutely foes. One was Iran, one was Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates. That was three. I'm looking for the other three, but
I would imagine Pakistan was not
no,
in the mix.
No, it was
India
not Pakistan, yeah. No. I can't find it right now, but six other countries. Oh, I know who they were. Argentina, one other.
A solid currency. Yeah, but Argentina wants to go to the dollar. So they would almost be exact opposite of
well,
the BRICS.
But
yeah.
Let's not forget these countries have all gone to communism for the most part.
Right,
Argentina, Brazil,
Chile.
That wasn't one of them, but there were six that were invited in, and they were not friendly. they're mostly on the side with China and Russia against the U.S. So anyways, just something to think about. I don't know what they'll do with the acronym you're going to have to play. It'd be like Scrabble. Okay, here's your new letters. You've got an A now to play with. You've got an another S in Saudi Arabia. You
it's
got
like
another
Fang.
I in Iran. United Arab Emirates. You got to get a lot of vowels to work with.
It's like
U.
Fang. Yeah, it's like Fang. We'll just keep calling it BRICS, even though there's like 12 countries in there, right?
Well, I just say BRICS have always been symbolic of slavery. Okay, the BRICS that they use, right, to build the pyramids and
right.
whatnot.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's just something to think about. Now, Boeing has another little issue. I don't see it as a big thing. And Subway has a new owner. Yeah, maybe they'll make a little better sandwich going forward. I don't know. We'll be right back. This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Here's the rest of the bricks. In fact, they weren't, not only were they invited, I mean, they've accepted the invitation and they'll become full-fledged members in
2024, the beginning of the year.
Yeah, on January 1st, 2024. And so here's your new members of the bricks. You've got, where did I put that? Argentina. You've got
Ethiopia.
Yeah. You hit it right
Egypt.
On Saudi. Yeah, you hit it right with Saudi Arabia and United Arab Emirates.
And what was the other one from?
Hang on, Iran.
Yep. And Iran. So that becomes now. So now you've got 12. One, two, three, four. Let's see. No, BRICS before was five. One, two, three, four, five. And now you're adding six. So you've got 11 countries now getting together. And they're going to have to change the name. But it's a formidable force. I mean,
Between them all, they've got, I was just looking at fun facts. Between them all, they got six in-service aircraft carriers. We have 11.
Okay, all right. And they do produce a little bit of oil, those countries.
They definitely do.
They control the oil. And, you know, they're pretty much, most of them are totalitarian countries. So, anyways, that's...
I guess India is the one that kind of surprises me.
I don't know where India really fits
at all. They don't really. I mean, to me, it's just, to me, it looks completely more economic, right? I mean, they're... it was hard for me to kind of fit them and South Africa into that mix, to tell you the truth.
She has made several visits to India. India kind of plays both sides, they play the China side too.
Yeah, they do what's good for India. I mean,
yeah,
frankly.
And South Africa is not the South Africa. I mean, you've had a complete turnaround in South Africa. We know what's gone on there. So anyways, that's just some interesting news to think about out there in the world today. We woke up to that. Okay, Boeing drops. Let's see, is it still underwater?
It's down about 2% last time I saw it.
Now it's down 3.5%. They have a they're going to have a delay in deliveries. It's the 737 MAX again, due to a new quality issue involving its biggest supplier, Spirit AeroSystems. The problem involves elongated fastener holes on the aft pressure bulkhead on some 737 fuselage models. It's already implemented the change to its manufacturing process to address the problem. And based on what we know, Boeing says there will not be a material impact to our delivery range for the years related to this issue.
Yeah, which then tells you, okay, well, why in the fact
yeah.
Why is the stock down, right? Of course, Spirit's down. They also said that they basically wouldn't change their delivery, and they're down 16.5%. So
yes, okay. Now, Rourke Capital. Let's just kind of compare. We know that Restaurant Brands has four brands. Popeyes, Firehouse Subs,
Burger King,
Burger King
and Horton.
Tim Hortons, and of course we know who Yum Brands is. Roark Capital, which is private equity, now owns Arby's, Auntie Anne's, Baskin Robbins, Buffalo Wild Wing, Carl's Jr., and Hardee's, but they're adding Subway to their portfolio. How'd you like to be the guy that started Subway? $9 billion is apparently what Roark Capital paid for Subway. Subway's got a few outlets across America. Gas stations, airports, convenience stores, standalone stores, malls, you name it. And I can't say that these brands are really flourishing. Arby seems to be doing okay. The Buffalo Wild Wings concept, I don't know. It's okay. Carl's Jr. and Hardee's seem to really be struggling. A lot of Hardee's are closing. They just seem to be dilapidated.
Yeah,
hard to get workers. I don't know.
In a lot of that other space too. I mean, they've revamped restaurants. For example, you know, Burger King made their franchisees, you know, begin to build new restaurants. Number one, and refurbish old restaurants, and they started that, you know, almost 10 years ago or more. Same thing with McDonald's. But yeah, they have an interesting portfolio group. O'Rourke, they've got some Dunkin', they've got some
Jimmy John's. Dunkin' too.
They got, remember the old Mako paint and body?
Yeah.
McAllister's, they're all Moe's. They've got a, you know, not that they own the whole thing of all of those, but they've two men in a truck, Cheesecake Factory. They got all kinds of money.
And most of them are struggling kind of franchise.
Yeah, Schlotsky's, which is a name I haven't seen in forever.
Oh, yeah, there was one in North Charleston and it's gone. Okay. Next big news here, AstraZeneca was one of the big ones in the COVID vaccine race, you know, out of the UK, using Cambridge University of Oxford. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? They're being sued. Legal cases have been filed in London over allegations that AstraZeneca's COVID-19 vaccine led to adverse events, including a death, two of potentially dozens of similar lawsuits against the UK-based company. So that is pretty interesting. You know, that that is one of the kind of controversial areas of the vaccine, is all of the adverse events out there. But most of, I think Pfizer has immunity somehow.
No, that's what I was going to say. I think, you know, companies that are U.S.-based, I'm pretty sure, like you said, had some kind of protections in
Moderna
place.
Moderna has protection, I think, too.
But, of course, with them being a U.K. company, my guess is that they, you know, somehow that benefit was not afforded to them by the UK.
Well, the UK restricted the use of AstraZeneca's drug during the COVID crisis to people under 40 years old. They wouldn't allow anybody over 40 to get it because of rare events of blood clot formation. Well, it will be interesting to see, you know, what comes of all of this, and of course, they'll be able to do a lot of, subpoenas and documents and whatnot, because it will also apply, I'm sure, to the Pfizer vaccine and the Moderna, because they all use the same kind of technology.
Well, and look back and just learn something from the whole thing, right? I mean, go back, do a deep dive in the whole thing, whether it's from, you know,
instead of
down
cover
to
up.
School stuff to, you know, I mean, just, you know, dissect it, because it sounds like, I mean, it's happened before. Chances are, right, at some point, it's going to, you know, we'll have some other
It continues
thing,
to
right?
mutate. So. That's all I know. It continues to mutate. Equinor launches the world's largest floating wind farm offshore Norway. Okay, that's a new concept. That's got to be one giant barge or whatever it is that has those windmills. And I'm sure it's anchored, tethered to the ground, with some massive kinds of structures there. And I know they announced another wind farm off of Maine. No, just north of Maine. New Hampshire, I think.
Yeah,
or Rhode Island. One of those yesterday, the Biden administration announced that. didn't not in
see
front
the,
of his house.
Right. No,
in his little beach in Delaware, they're not going to put one there.
But did you see the tanker? I mean, we've talked about this. You see the tanker now that they put like these two big, almost like sails on top of.
Wow.
Not sails, but they're made out of, I think, metal and fiber something. Essentially, it can cut the gas fuel usage by about, I want to say by about 20%, but I don't think that thing's going to be able to go under the Ravenel Bridge. I mean, it's like I forget how many meters. They're like 100 and something meters high.
Wow.
I'll send you a picture. But
well, okay. Hey, whatever. Now, there's a new ETF, Luxury, LUXX. Somebody came up with that. Roundhill Investments. It's going to have Ralph Lauren, Mercedes-Benz, LVMH, which is Louis Vuitton, Moet Hennessy, Ferrari, okay. This is kind of the movie star ETF. It's LUX. And then Overstock sees some early success. Of course, they bought all of the Bed Bath and Beyond
stuff
inventory, and they're changing their website, I think. They're going to start selling through the Bed Bath and Beyond website. And last, Burlington Stores points to significant pressure on lower-income consumers. Wingstop is repurchasing 125 million shares. And Dollar Tree falls after earnings report highlight margin pressures, inflation. No margin pressures at NVIDIA, though. We'll be right back.
You got to go where you want to go.
Welcome back here to the the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. The market has deteriorated here since the open. A few disturbing things here, a few disturbing trends that I'm seeing here in the market today. I don't know if it all relates to the jobless. You wouldn't think that the jobless claims numbers. I don't think the BRICS.
A weekly number. Yeah, I mean, it's like I said, it's a number that it comes out every week, and it used to not be as significant, but it is.
Maybe the whole BRICS things. I don't think that's good news, all right? And a lot of the high PE stocks are the ones selling off today. The other thing I'm interested in seeing, all right, I want to see the ratings that Fox got, right, for the Republican debate versus Tucker Carlson and Donald Trump. I got to believe, I'm just guessing, that the Trump with Tucker Carlson blew away Fox's ratings for the debate. It's kind of interesting, too, because those two guys have kind of got it in for Fox. Obviously, Tucker Carlson's got it in for Fox.
Yeah.
So what's he do? He interviews Trump during their debate, right?
And in 175 million views?
Is that it? I've heard. Rumors.
Yeah, I think that's what was mentioned, but you got to think about it. I mean, okay, I would say that there was probably, if you poll, a majority of, say, the Democratic leaning voters, I bet you they watched Trump more than they would have watched the Republican debate.
Who's
also
going to watch Nikki Haley debating Rem Sammy and all this? That now I have to mention the most disturbing part of the whole thing was the very last question. I listened to the Trump Tucker Carlson. I thought that sounded more interesting to me. Is either that or the Padre game was already over.
Yeah, you guys won.
So. Yes, it was a day game. But now here's the last question Tucker Carlson asked Donald Trump. Former President Donald Trump, do you think we're headed for a civil war? Yes, that's the question he asked. And what was Trump's reaction, his answer? He says, well, let me just say this. There's a lot of passion right now out there, and there's a lot of hatred, and that's not a good mix. And Tucker Carlson ended the interview with, I agree. That's not a good mix. So just kind of an ominous. They left it on a very ominous note. You know, you've got passion on the ones, you've got hatred, and those two clashing together. How will this end? Well, only time will tell. But it won't be friendly. Now, here's the way the breakdown of the stocks today. They've all gone negative now. The Dow is down. Boeing is leading the hit parade. It's down 3.4% on an outside issue from one of their vendors, okay? Intel is down 2.2%. Disney, which just continues to be under pressure, is down 2.2%. Tell you another stock that got clobbered when the retail stocks got clobbered earlier this week. Target really got hit hard. Apple is down 1.7% today. So the mega caps are having a rough time today. On the upside in the Dow, Verizon up 1.1%, JP Morgan up 1%, Travelers up 1%, but you've got four big Dow stocks down, you know, pretty heavily. Now you go to the NASDAQ, okay? The NASDAQ, there's only a few winners there. Autodesk up 3.1%, they reported earnings. Zion Bank up 2.5, and Nvidia right now is hanging on to just a 2.1% gain. And on the downside, Dollar Tree down 10.4%. You know what? We've seen some disasters in the retail space. Dick's Sporting Goods lost a quarter of its revenue, of its market cap. Macy's lost 20% of its market cap, and now you've got Dollar Tree losing 10%. It seems to be the lower end of the spectrum. BBWI also down 6%. That's Bed Bath & Body Works. And the other one, here's the one that's disturbing to me. AMD is down 5.4%. I'm thinking it must be tied to the huge advancement that NVIDIA has made in AI. And they're really, I mean, their attempts at AI have been okay, but nothing earth-shaking yet. But for whatever reason, AMD's down 5.4% right now.
Yeah, I just don't think, you know, obviously AMD also has a component. You know, they're not, a pure AI or a data warehouse play simply because they do have some, personal computing exposure. But, yeah, I just think they've done, from a rhetoric standpoint, they haven't been as gung-ho, woo-hoo, you know,
no.
About AI as NVIDIA has. Of course, NVIDIA's backed it up, too. But yeah, I think they can do – they seem like a little bit sleepy, and at some point I think they – I think they will kind of get there. It's just, they're taking a little patience, particularly when you're looking at NVIDIA on the other side of the ledger.
Well, I don't know what's caused this. It's not a massive turnaround in the market, but it was pretty optimistic before the open, and now we're down. So it could be, a 1-point rise in interest rates.
Yeah, they're basically flat or up 2 basis points for today. We're at 4.22, which feels a lot better than 4.34. So
yeah, the world getting a little more dangerous with the BRICS expanding. And then, the comments last night by Tucker Carlson and former President Trump about, one side having passion. Well, I don't know. All of this, maybe the market just got a little bit overblown. The NASDAQ was up 215 yesterday. Okay.
And potential fallout in Russia, too. I mean, don't know how that's going to play out. I mean, yeah, you're eliminating people, but then at the same time, there's a vacuum, right, a power vacuum to be filled. So there's certainly some uncertainty there as well.
Yeah, well, will the followers, he had a lot of, the Wagner Group obviously has a lot of allegiance to him. They got a lot of weapons, too. They're pretty sharp guys. I don't know.
Only takes a single fighter, what I mean? I mean, out of however many.
A lot of chaos, a lot of turmoil out there right now. All right. Well, we'll be writing about it in the newsletter. That's been a busy week. I'll summarize it all. I'll give you, at the end of the day, it comes down to earnings here. Earnings is going to drive the bus going forward, and I'll update earnings. We'll have our featured stock of the week. Get 2 free weeks of the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. And if you want the vigilance and a little bit more action, activity on your portfolio, give us a call at 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.